Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. And now the climax. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Matthew chapter 6, verses 27 through 30. What's he saying? You're worth much more than grass, or lilies, or sparrows. You are of infinite worth to God. You're worth so much to God that he sent his Son to die for you. The next time you begin to think how unworthy and wormy and inferior you feel, remember that to God, you are the object of his attention and his affection. If it hadn't been for your sins and mine, there would never have been the need for a Savior. God so loved you that he sent his Son. He even seeks your worship. John chapter 4, verses 23. He enjoys being with his children. Let's look at another way God sees us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we learn that we are God's workmanship. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God gives his attention to us as individuals. No two of us are alike. He doesn't look upon the mass of humanity and pick out a glob within that larger mass and say, "Now I'll just shower blessings to the whole group and smear it all over them like peanut butter." He knows each one of us personally and is working with each one, with you. I smile as I write that thought. Philippians 1:6 says, "He is not through working with us yet, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." He who began will perfect. The idea is to complete. He is not through. You are an unfinished project of the living Lord. Think of it. You may have seen those confusing buttons some people are wearing now. They read, PBPGINFWMY. Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. That's true. Philippians 1:6 says he will complete the job, but he is not finished yet. A person who is absorbed with his own inferior feelings thinks he is not as good as fill in the blank, and then he mentally rattles off the names of a number of other people, most of whom he probably can't stand anyway. He forgets that he, personally, is being worked on by God. Our eyes continually scan the surface, comparing ourselves with others. Yet God deals with us individually. He's not finished. Then Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. There's a lot of theology in that statement, but let's not get bogged down. It is the first part of the verse that intrigues me. God is at work in you. Let's take a long look at the Word of God before we consider our own estimate of ourselves. You are, before the Lord, a very important person. This is not just good psychology, this is good, sound, biblical doctrine. God sent his Son because he loves you. Romans 8:29 says that God is conforming us, since he is working on us as his unique vessels. Since he is not finished with us, how about considering you and the Lord a team? Rather than competing with someone else, think of yourself and the Lord Jesus Christ in a cooperative relationship. And rather than running against his working, cooperate with his workings. He is at work. Picture yourself as a diamond in the rough. God works away on you, buffeting and polishing, grinding and filing. The diamond is being shaped and prepared for the perfect plan he has for you. But at times the process is definitely irritating. The one who frequently feels inferior is the one who concentrates on the part that isn't finished rather than on the part that is being completed or has already been shaped. God is working on you. He just isn't finished. Remember the key word, persevere.